Welcome to our 17th annual conference, our very first virtual global event this year, Nehemiah Week 2020. And now, your hosts, Patrice Sage and Susan Schramm.
Well, this is not Susan Schramm, but...
Should I change my name? Wear a wig?
Welcome, everybody, to our Nehemiah Week recap.
Well, I won't be insulted, because Susan is a wonderful woman, so... That's
right. Robert Bukui playing Susan Schramm. Yeah. Love it. Well, Robert, thank you so much for being here with us. So today we're doing a recap for day four. So we do this 30-minute recap each day to kind of give a chance for our audience, those who are... There's Cherie. Cherie, how... Cherie says hi, Susan.
Hi, Cherie.
And so kind of recapping. So of course, this morning, first, Robbie, before we get into the recap for the day, this is for those who are with us and those who may not have been with us. And of course, we're using the recap to also promote tomorrow, the business plan competition, so others can join us. So, Robert, you've been at several Nehemiah. I think every one of them since you've been with Nehemiah. And this is the first virtual. So what are your thoughts between what we've done historically and what happened here with this virtual one?
Well, you know, hats off to you, Patrice, and the team to adapt. I think, you know, there's a lot of organizations, churches, ministries, whatever, that are used to doing physical events, and a lot of them just didn't do it. And then there's some that just decide to go virtual. And, you know, you just have to roll with the punches. You know how they say, you know, make lemonade out of lemon. So you can't just, you know, just raise up your hands and just give up just because things are changed and you're forced to not do things the way you normally would. And that's a sign of a good business, that one that just can adapt, because it's not going to be perfect when you're adapting like this in such short notice. But, you know, we're getting, I mean, the interaction has been great. I mean, I think the attendance has been as good as even the live events, as far as I can tell. So, you know, there are glitches, you know, because you're dealing with technology. But you know what? I think anybody that's been doing Zoom and use any kind of technological device understands those things are just going to happen. But people are forgiving. But, you know, I think what's happened so far this week has been great. It's been phenomenal. You know, the only thing you miss are being able to get together privately and chat and stuff like that. But, you know, but there's also the little private chat windows. I mean, I've had some private chats with people even during presentations. And so there is still a little bit of that going on behind the scenes. And what's great about that is they're not disrupting the presentation, right? Yeah. Usually when there's private chats in the back, people are talking and you're going, shh, quiet, quiet, I can't hear. But at least this is really private and you don't interrupt the presentations. And so there are some benefits to that. But, you know, it's been a great experience. And I think, you know, in some ways it's even better than live, and in other ways it's not. But you know what? You just take the good with the bad. And I think overall, I think people are having a great experience. So hats off to you and the team. And I know it's a lot of work.
Well, thank you. First of all, the feedback has been overwhelming. And Robert does serve as our vice chair. Robert, thank you. Because you as a board, what I so appreciate about you guys is you guys are hands-on in terms of input feedback and when issues go off the rail. What I appreciate is that you give myself and the staff the room to be creative and the room to adapt. And you guys don't micromanage as far as that's concerned, because a lot of times it's risk. And so I think that speaks a lot about the leadership of the board. And one of the things I've heard from the feedback from many is just that they were coming in expecting a very one-dimensional engagement, like a Zoom meeting, as most of us are used to.
Yeah.
But to their surprise, they end up enjoying the multi-dimension. And that's what we try to really do, which was tough to pull off. Yeah. But and we were like, oh my God, it's working. And so let's speak about that multi-dimension when you compare this to some of the events you attended online and kind of see what we try to pull off. Was it too ambitious? Did it come across? Did it flow in terms of the five C's that we kind of try to integrate here?
Yeah. No, I think overall it's been a great job. I mean, I've been part of virtual events. My wife and I did our own virtual event, our own marriage and business virtual event back in June. And so we definitely know all the hard work that goes into that and try to keep the audience engaged. I mean, you know, when you do something virtual like this, the big key is keeping the audience engaged. And when it becomes too one-dimensional, it does, you do lose the audience. People start to multitask. You know, it's so easy to multitask on virtual events. And, you know, when you see the people that have their cameras off, they're either because they're not dressed or they're just multitasking, right? there's one virtual event we just did recently, and, you know, big name speakers and all that, but it was so one-dimensional that, you know, it was still good. I think what you guys have been able to pull off, you know, encouraging the chats on there, doing some of the breakout rooms so you can break things up into smaller chunks so people can start to talk a little bit. So you had periods where people were able to turn on their mic and talk in a smaller group, and keep things moving, keep things fluid. You know, you can, I think overall it did a great job in keeping people engaged. And, you know, that's the key thing. And it's tricky, especially when you're doing a first time doing something like this, but you just have to look at, understand what the technology can do. And a lot of times it can do more than people think. I think that's why people have not done some virtual events, because they think they're limited with technology. Yeah. But there are ways to keep people engaged in ways you couldn't do physically, right? Yeah. Because people are not already connecting from their computer. They're able to access something. So like I said, there's pros and cons to this, but you just got to go with what the pros are and say, how do we make this as rich an experience as possible and understand what the technology is capable of? I think that's kind of the downfall. A lot of organizations are not embracing the virtual aspect of doing virtual events, is they don't really understand what's possible. Yeah. And when you understand what's possible, then you just, and it starts with just asking the question, can we do this? I think I've been one of your meetings. I say, hey, can we do this? I know it's possible. And somehow it's possible, whether or not it's practical to do this in this setting, because I don't know how much work is going to take it's going to take to do that. But at the end of the day, you know, with technology, almost anything's possible. So you just got to ask the question, and then you got to determine for yourself, are we capable of pulling this off? Is it too much for this period of time now? Maybe we just do it for next year or whatever. But just, you know, just communicate. And I think overall, it's been a very solid experience.
Yeah, with that, I mean, one of the questions you asked early, because, you know, we shared with you guys as a board and kind of went through, you said, hey, you know, is there a way to engage them early? And that led us to activate the forums prior to the conference and those type of things. So that those two kind of things work well. You know, one of the things that, and I want to hear your thoughts to this, that I heard from many of the attendees who are actually guests or who was kind of from more outsider to us, they said, Patrice, this is probably better to showcase what you guys do, the breadth and depth of you guys do, than any other thing, because you were able to go across the globe in a short order. What are your thoughts of that?
Yeah, I mean, what do they mean exactly? I mean, like,
in terms of the ability to demonstrate, we had five continents engage. And when people participate, they're able to see that engagement in real time. If you're doing a physical event, you're limited to that region. You see the people, but nothing like zooming into France, zooming into Kenya and Malaysia and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially when you see the translation feature, you know, you have at least two languages are being translated, and you can see that on Zoom because you have the option to go into the French room or the Spanish room, right? So if you actually, this is a multidimensional conference where if you want to learn another language, you just go into the French room, right? Brush up your French. So I think that does lend itself to seeing the impact, the global impact that you are having. So yeah, from that perspective, I totally agree with that.
There were times where we started hearing French or Spanish all of a sudden when the translator didn't have their self muted. Well, Cherie said that great to hear you speak today and moderate the investors forum, Robert. Loved it. So
thank you.
Robert, again, we have one more day. Well, we have two more days for the EMI week. We have tomorrow, which is our investors forum. I'm sorry, not investors forum, our international business plan competition, where Robert is actually a judge. And then we got Saturday, which is our state of the ministry event, where we're going to be doing a fundraiser and talking about the impact of the EMI project as well. You'll be hearing a great speaker, Jeff Grubb. Of course, if you want to sign up for the event that's left, you can just pay for tomorrow, because Saturday is at no cost to you, or just sign up for Saturday. Go to nehemiahweek.com, and you can join us. So, Robert, let's start with this morning. of course, like we've done each day, we kicked off with prayer, worship, and then devotional time. What's been incredible has been our prayer time, the number of people attending when we compare it to live, night and day. I mean, just more and more people engaging and participating. Of course, the devotional time this morning, Pastor Gabriel, he brought the word from Paris. What was unique about today is that Pastor Gabriel is preaching from Paris. Manuel is translating from Canada. And then we are from different parts of the world. And today he taught us that, he said, you know, Jesus wants us to go so that we can expand the gospel around the world. And he gave us five keys to expansion. He says, we need the help of others. He taught the importance of leveraging other people and recognize that it's about partnering with men and not just resources or money. Then he says, you've got to leverage networks, you know, and talk about the key to building networks as a part of the expansion strategy. And then he concluded with the fact that you got to target cities, that Jesus Christ had a heart for cities. So any thoughts on Gabriel's message?
I mean, obviously it fit the audience, fit the situation, fit the conference. And I guess it is fitting to, you know, what the question you asked earlier about being able to see the global impact that you're having, you know, this virtual setting has been allowed people to really see the global impact that Nehemiah has. And I, you know, I've noticed names on there that I haven't seen before or in a long time at a Nehemiah week. So I'm assuming there's a number of first timers, or haven't seen them in a long time. So they're being able to see that. And I think hear that message is very relevant, very fitting for this occasion. And also for this time, I mean, just the message of go. I think, you know, our church has had a conference last weekend, and that was kind of a theme too about go. We got to get out. It's time to, you know, get off the fence as Christians and go make impact. We talk about why, you know, people have the heart of, you know, they've heard this message of kingdom impact. We have kingdom purpose, you know, doing things for the kingdom. But they're often too much on the sidelines. And I think this message of go, what I heard last week and what I heard even with Pastor Gabriel sharing a little bit of that today, you know, this is a moment, you know, this is a crisis moment worldwide, you know, yeah. And here in the U.S., there's multiple crises going on. And so now more than ever, the world needs solutions, right? And who better to offer solutions than people of faith? And it's not just going to come from the church and not just going to come from the pulpit, but it's going to come from all of us because, it, you know, not everybody's going to come to church or even tune into virtual service. I mean, we're all in the world. And so it's so important for us to do that. And I think this global audience, you know, this e-community thing that you've developed, it helps us, everybody stay connected, that network, even if it's not just to do business, but just to encourage each other. You know, at the very least, the e-community can be a source of just encouraging each other. And also see that, I think, globally, regardless of where you are in the world, everybody's facing similar situations. And at least we all know there's at least one situation everybody is facing, that's COVID. Mm-hmm. But from that, there's all kinds of economic issues, negative economic issues that come from that. And so getting out there as kingdom business owners, kingdom entrepreneurs, is to go out and make a difference, because COVID has had economic impact. And so who better to go out and make a difference economically, which also, it's not just money that we help solve the issue, but there's people's livelihoods, there's health involved, there's mental health involved too, you know, when you don't have money, when you're in food lines or whatever. I mean, just creating a business, creating jobs, just really makes a tremendous holistic impact beyond just money, just the economy. So it was a great message and for the right time. And I think, I hope everyone takes that to heart. Even if they weren't, if you're listening and you weren't part of the day, that to really take that message of go to heart and go do it and stay in connection with people like us.
You talked about the e-community. You were on the board when we first cast the vision, and it was an idea on paper and began to kind of work on it. we've come a long way. When you see when we thought about it then, had no idea that a day like this would come. What comes to your mind when you see back then and then now and see what God has done? I mean, what are your thoughts there in terms of the marvels of vision, ideas, and what God can do?
Yeah, I think it's just a model of what every business should be going through, is always asking the question, what can we do? Always thinking about what to do next. You know, sometimes visionaries like you can drive us C personalities nuts because you're five steps ahead and we're trying to, hey, we're just trying to make this thing work, right? And so obviously you need a balance of all kinds of personalities on your team, but you always need somebody to always push the envelope. Because if business just sit on their laurels and just keep continue to do business as usual, they're just gonna go downhill. And especially when crisis moments hits like this, they're not prepared for the new thing. You know, I shared earlier during investors forum is when you're always in continually innovating or making improvements, even just small improvements every year, just making one improvement, how to make our product and service just a little bit better, how to make the customer experience just a little bit better, how to make our marketing and sales approaches a little bit better. You know, if you're always making incremental improvements every year, yeah. And also understanding the market changes that and adapt to that, that when crisis moments hit, you're going to be far more ahead of everybody else, because the majority of business, why majority of business fail anyway, is because they're not really in tune with the market a lot. And especially older business, a lot of times they get stuck in just a rut of doing business as usual. I've had, you know, one of my first clients, they're in business for almost 40 years. And every time we're bringing up some potential new strategy, they always say, no, we don't do that because that's not how we've done it. This is how we've done it for 40 years. Now, their business is going downhill. And so I'm like, okay, what you've been doing might have worked then, but it's not working now, so we need to change, right? But they're more content in their misery than being wanting to move forward and being uncomfortable and change. And change is always uncomfortable, right? But it's also necessary, because most people are going to stay comfortable in their own way of doing things. Meanwhile, the market dynamics are changing in front of them, and in the normal circumstance, changes are pretty, you know, gradual and slow. And then when crisis hits, now everybody's forced to adapt. Yeah. So yeah. Virtual technology is not new.
Something is going on with Robert's Wi-Fi.
Just consulting that, you know, so are you back? Am I back?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Robert. You're going in and out, but go ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry. But I was just saying, you know, technology is not new, I mean, virtual technology is not new, but there's been so many, I've talked to even before COVID and after COVID, or during COVID, after COVID, I know some counselors and coaches, they can't wait to go back to the old normal. They were so slow to adapting to do Zoom meetings and all that stuff. And they're suffering. Their business suffers for it because that's the only way you can do business. But a lot of them are just waiting for things to go back to normal. Meanwhile, they're suffering. And then you have other organizations that have just adapted to or adapted before even the crisis moment. You know, for me and my wife, our business, we haven't missed a beat, primarily because we've been doing this kind of thing for years. And we've been preparing for more digital. We've been preparing more digital content anyway. So versus there's a lot of organizations are now thrust into having to do it. Meanwhile, the people that have been adapting over the long term, just, you know, gradually just adapting, noticing technology changes, noticing market dynamic changes, they were fine. Because now they might have to do some additional changes. I mean, it's still a little stressful, not to say it wasn't stressful, but they were so much further ahead than everybody else because they're already adapting just on a normal, regular basis. So to what you got to your question about, you know, this whole e-community thing, I mean, I think it's just another example of just saying, what can we do to do better? What can we do virtually? Because obviously you're international, and so we need to have something virtual to pull everybody together, because we can't do physical Nehemiah weeks all the time anyway, even if we wanted to. So this was just another step in advancing forward and moving the organization forward by embracing the technology and embracing what's possible, and not just saying, just stick to what we're doing because it seems to be working well. But to really notice, hey, there's something we can do that might make some improvements. And then bingo, obviously no one saw COVID coming, but bingo, COVID comes. And next thing you know, you're like, oh, we're positioned well, right? So no one can plan for crisis, right? But as long as you're always moving forward and innovating and being creative and trying to make improvements, that when crisis hits, most likely you're going to be positioned to do well. Just for example of, you know, when companies are cash rich, when crisis moments hit, guess what? They get to invest, maybe buy up other property, buy up other equipment or whatever at pennies on the dollar. So that's another example of being, you know, just prepared for crisis moments. So you don't know when it's going to happen, but you just know that it's going to happen at some point.
Well said. Well said. And I just want to give kudos to our team, you know, Paul, Kat, Samantha, and now Victor and Kenji, and even Deborah, Wendy, you know, the entire team, and you know, Gina, because they've been flexible. And of course, Paul and the Malaysia team, and now the Kenyan Italy team, they're bringing a lot of the you know, because, you know, I just dream, but these guys make it happen. And so that's having the right team also, and the key team. You know, I remember years ago, we're thinking, okay, where do you want to begin to be intentional about attracting and retaining the kind of people that would take us there? And that's key as well for you as you think about all of this. And then, of course, today we honor two individuals. We honor our very own, Susan Schramm and Chris Hood. And of course, Susan received our Charitable Investor of the Year Award, which is an award we give to those who give their time, talents, and treasure to NEMA Project and helping us carry our mission. Of course, Susan has been just a delight in helping us here. And then, of course, Chris Hood, more than a conqueror. This guy went through trials and tests, and he made it through. Robert, you had a chance to work with him over in Sioux Falls. Chris, you know Chris. And so isn't it amazing what he's gone through and then how he stayed the course and the Lord brought him out of it. And now he's helping people.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Chris has one of those guys, he's got a big heart, and it's one of those guys, you just can't help but fall in love with him. And part of his, you know, with every strength comes, you know, some challenges too. And I'm sure the family went through some challenges too, because he gave up his business and just wanted to serve other people. And, you know, sometimes you don't know where they're headed. You know, like I said, sometimes visionaries, you don't know where they're headed, because they don't often always communicate, or at least communicate well what they think they're doing. So I'm sure there's challenges on the family side, but, you know, he persevered, his family persevered, his family supported him. I know his wife, Diana, is just a gem. I can tell you one thing, he wouldn't have gone through it, being able to pull this off, if it wasn't for his wife. She is an amazing woman. And so, you know, yeah, it's amazing to watch. I've known him for, I don't know how many years now, but, he's a great man. He's got a great heart and, just great heart to serve and help people. And so it's great to see, him coming out the other side. Yeah.
God is faithful. And then we move to, laying the foundation for, the Investors Forum. We dealt with how do you finance your growth? And we there talked about, you know, budgeting for growth, you know, allocating time, thinking about the one-time expenses, the variable, and then the fixed expenses, and then looking at the financing options, you know, self-financing, equity, debt financing, or a combination of both. And then you led us through an Investors Forum where we had two entrepreneurs who got up to pitch their business. One was a Christian school, the other was an app out of France, the school was out of Kenya. And then you facilitated a panel discussion with current entrepreneurs who we put capital in, and to kind of see how they've been doing. I like how you divided the questions, how we heard different angles. Let's first deal with the entrepreneurs who pitched. So what were your thoughts about how they pitched and how the investors responded today?
Yeah, I think they were very well prepared, especially Nina. Make sure I get her name right. Yeah. You know, the Christian school. She was definitely very well prepared. She knew her market. She knew the competitive landscape. She understood the industry. She understood the problem that schools are facing. And she presented a very viable option and a needed option. And, you know, she, you know, from the investors, you know, we had a, obviously after they all presented and asked her questions, and then we had a little discussion when the entrepreneurs were out of the room, the virtual room. And I could tell they're very impressed by her. And I know there's at least one that's wants to move forward in the conversation, but you know, that preparation is huge. And what I shared, you know, during the investors forum is, regardless if you're going to seek investment or seek a loan, you want to be prepared as these entrepreneurs are prepared to answer these tough questions, because these are questions that affect your business. And if you can't answer these questions, even from the audience perspective, then you've got some gaps in the business to fill. And so, you know, one of the things I love too, when we had the panel afterwards, and one of the entrepreneurs that did get investment from the past, you know, he shared his experience of preparing for this, or, you know, and he definitely said that, you know, he could not only see the vision as he prepared for the pitch, you know, because you're forced to be with a coach, you're forced to, you know, you got a deadline, you know that these investors are going to be very critical, and it forces you to really, you know, look through your business and your plan and make sure you filled some holes and all that. And it you know, it forces you to be more prepared as an entrepreneur. And so it's clear that the, you know, the coaching was great with Nina. And then of course, Naomi and Joseph, I think it was, with their app, you know, they weren't quite prepared to make a formal pitch, but they made their, you know, kind of showcase presentation, and they did a fine job as well. And you know, what I think we all saw was that, they were definitely feeling a need. Now it's just a matter of, from an investor standpoint, of like answering some questions to see if this is something that they're worth taking, you know, these investors are it's worthy taking a risk. But even if they don't get investments, I just know they're going to be successful. That much was clear during the presentation.
The process definitely helps. I mean, you've done, from a marketing standpoint, you have some preview to the space, social media. Do you think they have a solution that maybe that fills the gap?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't quite clear, you know, plus the slide, the screen was really small, so there's a lot of things. I mean, there's questions, but when it comes to technology and social media, I mean, whatever, to anything related to technology, there's always going to be a need for a new solution. That, just no. So the blanket generic answer to that question is yes. Now it's just a matter of, have they thought through, you know, all the potential pitfalls, especially when you look at the competitive landscape, because technology is always changing, and people are going to look, if something that looks promising, somebody's going to look to hijack it and steal your idea. You know, very little is protectable, really, at the end of the day. But, you know, I think they, from what I saw, they definitely have a good idea. I think there's still some questions to be answered, and I think there's some fine tuning, as I could tell by the way they answered some of the questions. Either they didn't understand because of language barrier, or they haven't thought through some things. So those, as an investor or just as a business coach or consultant, those are the things I would really dig on, is, have we really thought some of these things through? Let's make sure we have answers to some of these questions. So that's kind of to my point earlier, is whether you get men or not, answer these questions, because it's going to help term. And who knows, sometimes as you start to dig, the business model might pivot a little bit, or the solution that they thought they had, maybe that's not quite the solution, but maybe there's something else. But the more you dig and dig and dig, then something's going to happen. So like I said, I don't have any doubt they're going to be successful. I think they should just take some of these questions to heart, and even, you know, talk to some of these investors and maybe ask them for more feedback. Regardless if they're going to invest or not, I think that's very valuable. And especially in the technology space, because there's so much going on, that you definitely want to do your due diligence as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, well said. And they did a good job. And of course, you had the panel of existing entrepreneurs who shared feedback and some of the questions you asked them. Then we concluded it with the business opportunity, where Cherie Hoffman, who's, you know, she thought on diversifying the income, the idea of building passive income. And she kind of talked about, you know, you can build a traditional business, you can buy a franchise licensing, you can do direct sale or multi-level marketing. And I added, You can also do investments. So this is, and then we had these business opportunity breakout session. And today what happened to all be something on direct sales. So first of all, multi-level marketing, direct sales, is a very controversial space within the Christian Christian community. What were your thoughts?
Well, any community. It's controversial in any community.
That's true. what was your thoughts about that?
Yeah. So, you know, just like any business, any industry, there's good and bad and something in between, right? So when it comes to network marketing, it's not any different. There's some good ones, there's some mediocre ones, and there's some really bad ones. And it's the bad ones that, you know, build a bad reputation for the industry. Right. So I think like any business, you know, I think one of the things that people, a lot of times there's a lot of hype around network marketing, especially the people that are trying to recruit you, and they're selling on hype. And so, but I don't know if she shared it in her presentation itself, but I know in her breakout she did, was you got to do your homework, which is true. I mean, I advise everybody. I'm not a network marketing person, but I also know there's some good ones. You know, I mean, Avon, Tupperware, those are all network marketing businesses that have been going around for decades, right? And they do well. But it has to be something that fits you. You know, as you don't want to forget all your biblical entrepreneurship training, right? Am I lost?
No, you're here.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
I can't hear myself. Oh, so anyways, you don't want to forget your biblical entrepreneurship training is with business, whatever it is, friend, you know, a traditional business or network marketing business, it has to fit your passion and your calling and the way God's created you.
Good.
Right. That's the end of the day. It has to fit that. Then we can take the next step forward. It's like, okay, do I have what it takes to be successful in this? And am I able to commit to this and all that kind of stuff? And you know, if you're looking to be successful in anything, it's going to take commitment and work. You know, there's no way around it. So, you know, I don't have a problem with network marketing. And, you know, there's, like I said, there's good ones out there. I just think trying to make a decision, you have to do your due diligence just like any other business. And you gotta start with, does it fit your own vision and calling the way God's created you to be?
Well said. So Robert, tomorrow you are one of the judges. You're going to be Simon, I guess. And you guys are going to be selecting the winner for the International Business Plan Competition. You've been a contender and you've been a judge a number of times. So what are you looking forward to tomorrow, and what can our audience expect if they do show up tomorrow to participate?
Well, I think if they watched the Investors Forum today, that was a sneak preview of what we're going to see tomorrow. It's a similar format, right? 10-minute presentation followed by Q&A. The judges aren't going to be investing, or maybe they might. I don't know. Who knows? They might say, hey, I want to invest into you and have a conversation. But it's going to be very similar to today's Investors Forum. But you're going to hear from five entrepreneurs. And I'm just starting to kind of pour through the PowerPoints right now. And one actually she presented today, Nina's presenting again. So it's like a second go around, I guess.
Minus the fact that she does as a judge, how do you view that? How does that influence you, the fact that you heard her and then you're going to hear her again tomorrow?
Well, that's going to be challenging because I've already heard her once and I'm already impressed, right? And now I get to look at the presentation, prepare through it. I'm pretty positive it's not going to affect the outcome, because there's also the other four that we haven't heard from that could be equally, if not even better, right? Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to make a difference just because we heard her today. But you know, there's a familiarity aspect. But I think it's going to be great. Like I said, I've been on that both sides of this as a presenter and as a judge. It's always an exciting time. I think it's a great time for everyone to see what the Lord is doing out there with Kingdom Business. Mm. And it's a time to celebrate the entrepreneurs that are presenting and to learn, to see, man, you know, maybe I never thought of doing business this way or doing marketing this way. Or I think it's a learning experience for everybody in attendance, even if you already have a business. And for the entrepreneurs presenting, you know, I just want to tell them, you know, this is, I always tell, you know, even when I have a BE class, is like, look, this competition is not really a competition. I always look at it as a declaration to the Lord. You know, I've told you that before. We call it a declaration event, where you're declaring the Lord, you know, because it's in their kingdom business plan, you know, what was, what is to come, right? Mm-hmm. Where the Lord, where you came from, where the Lord has brought you through, where you are at this moment, and where the Lord has positioned you to go forward with. And that's what this, these business plan presentations are all about. And we get to celebrate that. So just to the entrepreneurs that are presenting, just celebrate that. And really, as you present, don't present to us, present it to God, and just thank him for what he's brought you through and where he's taken you to.
Wow, what a good way. Present it to the Lord. I love that. So Robert, before we close here, so when you look at Investors Forum versus competition. So as an entrepreneur, a biblical entrepreneur may be watching this or listening to this, and they like Nina, they're going to participate in both, or they may one day. So is there a difference? Do investors review it differently than, let's say, judges review it when they're trying to, you know, what's the psychology there? What advice can you give them?
Well, I mean, for me, I'm not going to judge it any differently. And especially as kingdom investors or, kingdom, you know, in this community, we're all kind of thinking the same way. It's not just about, you know, what kind of return I'm getting. It's about the quadruple bottom line, right? And so even the investors today and even the judges for tomorrow, just like me, we're always looking at the quadruple bottom line. What is the impact? What is the kingdom impact this business is going to have? At the same time, we want to know, is it going to be profitable? Because we want it to be sustainable. Because if this business is going to make the impact that they're saying that it is, and we believe that, you know, it will, we also want these businesses to be sustainable, and which means they have to be profitable. So I'm going to critique this just like an investor, a kingdom investor, because yes, I believe God's called you to do this to make an impact in the world and your community, which means I also want you to be profitable and sustainable. So which means I'm going to ask you some tough questions, because I want you to address certain issues, because I want you to be around, not just in your lifetime, but in multiple lifetimes, which means we want to see this as a legacy business. We want to see this business get passed on to the second, third, fourth generation. And so as a judge, as an investor, I mean, that's kind of how we're looking at this thing. It's not just about the dollars and cents, but it's about the impact. But we also want to make sure they're going to be around to continue that impact. So which means we want them to be profitable, which means we're going to dig into the financials. We're going to dig into the marketing landscape. We're going to dig into the competitive issues. And we're going to judge holistically based on, you know, who we feel is going to has the potential to make the biggest kingdom impact. Wow. And I think investors think about the same way, right?
Where do you want to put your money? Yeah, you heard it here. Robert, thank you so much, man. Looking forward to tomorrow, seeing who you guys select. And of course, we will not know until Saturday. And so looking forward to that. Robert, again, thank you for hosting the Investors Forum today. Okay. Thank you for your leadership on the board. And thank you for being modeling biblical entrepreneurship. Listen, I hope you've been blessed by this podcast. If you want more information about Robert Fukui, you can visit his website, and I believe the team has it up there for you. You can go to powercouplesbydesign.com, powercouplesbydesign.com. You can also reach him personally at rfukui@i61businessdevelopment.com. Again, rfukui@i61businessdevelopment.com. And then, of course, you can always visit the Nehemiah website so that you can get more information about Nehemiah Project and how we can come alongside and serve you. You can go to nehemiahecommunity.com, nehemiahecommunity.com. They can learn about our training program, our coaching program, as well as our access to capital. And you can learn how to become a member so that together we can transform the world. Before I pray for you, let me encourage you to consider coming to Nehemiah Week. If you've not been there yet, you can attend. Tomorrow is your last day for the formal activities. And then, of course, Saturday is our free event. Go to our website. Go to nehemiahweek.com, nehemiahweek.com. There you can register for the event, for the one-day event. And by the way, if you register for the whole thing, you can still catch what you missed, because next week the audios and videos will be available and you'll be able to participate. A little hint, though. Don't get the week yet. Just get the day, because we're going to have a special next week. So if you get the entire week, you know, so just give a little tip there. So if you can be patient and wait till next week, a special is coming, give you a chance to get the entire week on video and so forth at a better price. But get the day and join us tomorrow if you want to participate. And of course, Saturday is free. With that said, let me pray for you. And then afterwards, there's going to be a video that's going to play as to why you should join us tomorrow and even next year, where we're going to be in Mexico. Cherie, thank you for watching. It's good to see you. Cherie, congratulations. You knocked out of the park today, my dear. I love your heart and your spirit. With that said, let me pray for you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord enable you to steward those talents that he's placed under your care. And may you steward them in such a way that one day you can hear those wonderful words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Well, guess what? He'll now make you ruler over much. God bless you. Watch this video. See you Nehemiah Week. Robert, thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. God bless everyone.
Nehemiah Week is an annual event designed to equip entrepreneurs and leaders from around the world, to inspire and to honor marketplace leaders for their accomplishments and what they're doing to model Christ in the marketplace.
God is doing incredible things at Nehemiah Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, God has called us to be a light for him, to be an example for him, to be a model for him so that as others see us, not hear us, but see us, they can see a model of Christ.
Yeah, each year at Nehemiah Week, we gather the nations.
Our vision is to transform the marketplace with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, one entrepreneur at a time.
We have learned to do business in a good way. I will actually spread this to our church as well.
Through the course of Nehemiah Week includes information around principles of biblical entrepreneurship, so really looking at biblical economics.
What we've learned this week is about training. Our Nehemiah project is about training and then coaching and then accessing capital.
Nehemiah gave me God's vision. Really impacts the way that I see doing business.
Nehemiah Week not only gives birth to new ideas, it connects us with resources and relationships that makes them possible.
But what we want to do is not just affect here in the U.S., we want to take this curriculum all over the world.
Whatever it is, the question is, what impact will this have on others?
It's something that's going to change lives. So I'm ready to use whatever I have for the benefit of the kingdom of God.
I believe that the nations are going to shake because of this week. Biblical entrepreneurship takes a stand to say we are going to be witnesses for Jesus Christ in the marketplace.